Jesus, turn to someone and say, I'm a believer and so are you. Do you the An offering of praise. Amen. Oh, Jesus. He's so good. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you've brought us, Lord.
Joy is gonna be my strength.
how about that? And I'm trading my chain, and I'm laying him down now for the joy of my Lord. Let's trade it out. And I'm trading my sickness, and I'm trading my pain, and I'm laying them down for the joy of my Lord. Let's sing the bridge again. Are you ready? Here we go. Well, I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, come on. I'm struck down but not destroyed, and I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, and his joy is going to be my strength. And though the sorrow may last for a night, his joy comes in the morning. And I'm trading my sorrow, and I'm trading my shame, and I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I'm trading, Lord, this sickness. Yeah. And I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. La 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 la. And we say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. And we say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. Say yes, Lord, this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's wonderful that we can sing those songs, not as mere songs, but as realities. Jesus, you've provided so much for us. We're so thankful for everything that you've done. Glory to your name. We bask in the beauty of your holiness, Lord. As we stand here at your footstool, we look up into your radiant face. Thank you, Jesus. Over the mountain. the sea. Your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing up when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. Sing of your love forever, Lord. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. And do I feel like dancing? It's foolishness, I know. When the world has seen the light, they will dance for joy like I'm dancing now. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love.
Like nothing ever seen. depth of your love. You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand. Beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
One more time.
I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God,
just praise you, Jesus. You stand. beauty of His holiness, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Yes, You're worthy, Jesus. So good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just rest there for a moment. It's good to be in His presence. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we come to appreciate these times with You, Lord. Just to focus on You and nothing else. Refreshing. Just overtake You. Hallelujah, Lord. We let the rain, Father, just fall, Jesus. Let it bring refreshing to Your soul, refreshing to Your spirit. We give You all the praise and all the glory today, Lord. All the praise and all the glory, Lord. All the praise and all the glory, Jesus. Just breathe in deeply of the presence of the Lord. For in His presence is fullness of joy, amen. And pleasures forevermore, Lord. To know You, Lord. To know You, Lord. Kuriria na la la she la 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 de. Kroba she kelelia si la la de. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's master this morning. capturing and surrendering thoughts that come to distract us from focusing on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All week long, our minds are bombarded with what we have to do. Voices, 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 voices. We hear voices all week long. But here, right now, in this place, we have the opportunity to take all those thoughts captive and to focus on Him and Him alone. This is His house. This is His residence. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to praise you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Can fathom the depth of your love. You are beautiful beyond description. Oh, majesty enthroned above. Let's make this our love song to the Lord. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words. Is that the truth? Too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen. Can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Oh, majesty. Give the Lord an offering of praise. Amen. He's so good. Come on. Praise Him like you mean it. Jesus, we give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. all the praise and all the glory today. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to someone and greet them this morning. God is so good.
Good morning. Good morning. I welcome you in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 68:35 says, "You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God." So, amen. Let's give praise to God this morning. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ushers, if you'll come forward, we'll continue in our praise and worship with our tithes and offerings. Thank you, Father. Father, you truly are awesome. Father, you overwhelm us with your love and your mercy and your kindness. Father, just thank you for your gift. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your provision, and we thank you again that you give us an opportunity to show our gratitude for all you've done, Father. So we give willingly now, the willing heart, a cheerful heart, and we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. So bless this offering, bless this tithe, Father, and just multiply it for your honor and glory. Amen. While they're taking up the offering, there's just one announcement today, and that is the carpeting is in. And, yeah, all right, amen. And it's going to be installed this coming Tuesday. So, amen. Okay, now, as it's finishing with the offering, just prepare your heart to receive the word from God, because that's why we're here, to honor him, dismiss it, and to... just receive from him and give him the glory. And we're going to dismiss the children at this point. And again, just prepare yourself to receive from the Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning. Let's just stand up for a moment, put our hand on our heart. God is at work to transform us into the image of Christ. God is at work in our heart. And we thank him for glorifying himself, giving us a heart for him. And we receive his grace this morning. Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit be here today to operate and glorify the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. And we give him the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. We've been talking about, I did a message about divine destiny, and it's really something that I'm understanding more and more. I see how God led my personal life and ordered my steps and led me into his divine destiny for my future. However, that was something that involved being obedient to God's will. So we are, and understanding that, I realized how important, I call it divine obedience, because it was obedience that comes from the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of God. And it has become very important for me in my walk with God to have a mature obedience. Now, I did two messages on mature obedience, right? I may touch a little bit on the daily practical application of understanding how to walk in obedience and fulfill the destiny God has set out for you to fulfill. That's why in one of the first messages I did, I talked about I gave you an understanding of what divine destiny is. Okay. And it's learning to be obedient to that, understand what it is, and then learn to be obedient to it. Very important to me that I'm not here and there and all over, but I'm where God called me to be, okay, to fulfill his destiny for our life. In one of the messages I did, which I'm not going to go over the message, but it gave a clear understanding of how we are to walk in our divine destiny. And it gave Jesus as an example. And I give five points of how Jesus walked in divine destiny, how important it was to him to fulfill his divine destiny. And it's just as important to us. And so we're going to be getting into some of this. We're predestined. We were predestined even before God created the earth. We were predestined. And he predestined our future. He saw us fulfilling his divine purpose for us in Christ. We were predestined. We were, and we have a divine destiny, and you know what? God is pleased, and he takes pleasure when we understand that and cooperate in fulfilling his calling on our life. He takes pleasure in that. But, of course, it takes an understanding of how to be obedient to God in your life. And we look at divine destiny as God's predetermined, detailed blueprint for your life. Think about it. He already predetermined and called the end from the beginning. And I call it, he laid out a divine blueprint for your life. And that's what we need to be very interested in. We need to learn to be obedient to the calling that God put on our life. Say it with me. I have a divine destiny. I receive my divine destiny. Destiny simply means to set apart for a particular purpose, to appoint or ordain beforehand, and you are committed or bound to that destination. Okay, he guides us daily in that destination. Okay. Destiny means the power or agency that determines the course of events. So I'm on a different teaching right now for our people up top, probably. I didn't know if I sent that up or not. See, to me, I fully understand the importance of divine destiny. I don't want to live making independent choices, okay, being independent in my choices. I want to live being totally aware and dependent on the reality that God wants to lead every detail of my life. And I found that even in spite of not even understanding a lot of this, you know, he chose everything in my life has been a divine appointment. Okay. I believe in divine appointments. I met my wife. She was a divine appointment. Maybe I never fully understood that. I do now. Everywhere since I became a believer and received Christ into my heart, he chose every resident that I... And you know what? The places I lived, the first resident that he chose, he gave me a house. Gave it to us on 50 acres. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. I'm not saying that that's the way God is going to work for everybody else, but I saw his destiny. I saw it in a practical way. And that was one of the most wonderful seasons of our life. You know, to give us that house with that property, and we just enjoyed it thoroughly, and we knew for a fact that it was God's will. And then the second house, we know for a fact, we've been there for almost 30 years, we know that that was his destiny for us. So Jesus Christ, destiny means the power or agency that determines the course of events. Okay. if you will be obedient to your destiny, nothing will stop the course of events from taking place and being fulfilled. Nothing will stop it. Satan can't stop it. You have an inheritance from God. He will try and confuse it. But it can't be stopped if you will exercise your faith in the reality that God has a daily divine destiny for your life. Okay. I believe that means divine appointments, divine provision. I saw God, you know, I've been blessed to see God work marvelous miracles of provision. When I have determined, you know, when I was willing to be obedient, to walk in His will, He would provide everything. Okay. So we should have no doubt about the fact that we need to be aware of a divine destiny. I don't want to just be wandering from here to there. I want to know where I'm called, and then I want to be obedient to where He called me and not let Satan destroy God's purpose for my life. All right, you got it? Okay, so we've been talking about, and so I do the five, on this teaching, I do five points on how we're to walk in His divine obedience. Okay, I got 5 points on this. Now, I want to talk about, I have been talking about obedience, so I just want to talk about obedience. And I did 2 teachings on being, understanding what it means to walk in a mature obedience. Okay. There's different levels of obedience. There's the good, and the perfect will of God in that. You can be obedient without your heart really being there. And then you can be obedient in a mature obedient where Jesus rejoiced and became glad that He could be obedient to God. And so there's different levels. It's not that doing God's will without, a lot of what I did, I was obedient at the beginning of my walk with God. He called me to do certain things that I didn't want to do, but I did them anyway. But my heart wasn't in harmony with God's heart. Okay, so the mature obedience is something that you need to understand. So I did those messages on obedience, and then I have learning obedience in a practical daily application. How do I walk in obedience in a daily application where I'm aware of the fact that God gives us grace to be obedient? Okay, and so I did a number of points here, I think 5 of them, and I'm going to just talk about those briefly. I want to understand how to be obedient on a daily basis. Okay. And of course that obviously involves being in the center of God's will for our life. And so I just want to talk about for a moment Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6, and I think we can go to it now, yeah. I want to talk about obedience in your mental life, because the battlefield is in the mind, and it's your responsibility under God's grace to have an obedient mind. I've done teachings on the mind years ago where I took all the different kinds of minds. So let's just read one scripture, and this it certainly is not a total teaching on the mind, but it is one that we need to walk in daily. You know, unfortunately, we are in a warfare, and the battle, for the most part, much of it is an attack on our mind. Okay, and here's what 2 Corinthians 10 says: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So I just want you to establish that point, that God did not leave us in our own strength. Okay. His weapons are His divine grace, His divine power. I don't like to use supernatural power, and you know why. We're talking about the exceeding greatness of His power that goes beyond all other forms of power. And that's what Paul talks about, and I'm getting in another message now, but Paul talks about what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. His power exceeds all other forms of power. The world is looking for power, and Satan is accommodating them by giving them his power, his supernatural power. That's why I'm a little leery about using the word supernatural, because Jesus Christ, his power goes far beyond. It exceeds all other forms of power. The exceeding greatness, there's nothing that equals his power. Nothing. Yet, all your religions are dealing in the realm of power. But what is the origin and source of that power? That's why I have a real hard time. There is a place to use supernatural, but it's not something we should use in our relationship with God. Never. Because his power far exceeds and is far above all other forms of power. Now, don't get me going on that, but and everybody uses it. It's an error. So the weapons of our warfare, we've been given weapons. God did not leave us defenseless. Say, I'm not defenseless. Now, when you get confused, sometimes you feel defensive. Are not carnal, but he says they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So he's given us here an effective weapon, okay, that is highly superior to the power that we have to overcome, Satan's power. We have an effective weapon. Say an effective weapon. It's an unequaled weapon. And that's how we have to face That's what we have to learn about our walk with God. It isn't God versus Satan. Satan's already defeated. God has already given victory over him. We just now have to enforce our authority when we come under attack. That's why they call them the weapons of our warfare. You think God's going to give you an ineffective weapon? You got the big gun. I said, you got the big gun. Okay. And they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, Satan loves to give us strongholds in our mind that put us in a place where we really feel helpless or defeated because we don't understand how to do effective warfare. We don't understand our gifts. We don't know that we have them. It isn't God's fault. God's already given us what we need to defeat the enemy and be successful. Okay. They're miraculous. It's his divine power. Okay. And once we understand that, we now understand how to exercise effective faith. If I give you a weapon and you don't know how to use it or what it is or how powerful it is, then you're not going to put any faith in it or understand how it works. You see what I'm saying? You have a weapon. It is far more than enough in its power, okay, to defeat Satan. How many know he doesn't rest? He's relentless in trying to destroy your relationship with God and his power in your life. So it comes to pulling down strongholds. People get strongholds in their mind. And that stronghold defeats them and holds them captive. And they need to learn not to let the stronghold take place, but when you have it, you need to learn that it can come down. You do not have to learn to live in mental defeat. You do that by choice. It is not God's fault. And then you cry out to God. And he's sitting there thinking, I gave you my authority. Use it. You see? And I understand it. I understand how things happen. You can have a physical condition. And see, Satan is going to come where you're ignorant or weak. You can know the truth, but sometimes you can just feel too weak. And you forfeit your authority that was there all along. You think that God just left us in a world on our own? Or do you think he gave us effective weapons? He gave us effective weapons. But see, a lot of times we are not putting our faith in those weapons. We're not putting our faith in them. We're not using them the way God intended. You can send a soldier on the battlefield and not train him how to use his gun, and he's going to die. See? Are you getting it? A lot of what you're trying to get God to do, he's already done, and it's up to you. It's up to you. Okay, and then you're disillusioned with God. Why did he allow this to happen? And he didn't allow that to happen. You allowed it to happen. So we pulled down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing. See, there's a battle going on in your mind. There's an argument going on in there. And it's trying to reason with you to accept defeat, to resign yourself to the circumstance that appears to be overwhelming and defeating you. Okay, and it started by allowing it to gain strength over your mind, to take ascendancy over your mind. And you found yourself, many times we found ourselves a prisoner to a mental life that's in agreement with Satan. I'm just telling you that a lot of times we're expecting God to do something when he's already done it. He gave you the gun. Use it. Are you getting this? You know, God isn't going to do this for you. He told you to do it. He told you to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then the next step is to bring into obedience every arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, high thing. Say high thing. He wants to make something that is high, that is overwhelming, and you're looking at it as something that is almost undefeatable. It's high. You're looking at the wrong thing, but you made it a stronghold. And it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's why it's so important we understand the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay, you've got a thought life now. Have you allowed your thoughts to go out of control? Are you careless in your thought life? Okay, are you entertaining things that are gaining control over your mind, over your circumstance, the way you think, and then pretty soon you're overwhelmed. You've allowed this thing to take control. You have a disobedient mind. I'm not talking to you. I've had it happen so many times where it just gained ascendancy over my mind because I allowed it. I entertained it. I didn't realize how dangerous these thoughts were until they became a stronghold in my mind. then I really had to, you know, you shouldn't allow thoughts to be get that far. You shouldn't allow them to become a stronghold. You're in control. Yes, you do have God's grace. Yes, you do have God's power, but you're in control of your thought life. Okay. And what I want my thought life to be is I want to turn it over to the Holy Spirit. I was praying the other morning about my situation, and he gave me, I haven't printed any of it out yet, and I don't know if I will, but he just gave me his divine secrets to divine health. Because I've always walked in that, always walked in that. Why? Because it's God's will. I believe in it. Now, probably most Christians maybe will never achieve the reality. There have been people in history who, you know, their bodies wouldn't even, after they died, their bodies were so preserved. It was, okay, I believe when the Bible says that we should be in health and prosper, even if our soul are we talking about divine? Absolutely, I absolutely believe that. I keep reinforcing that over and over in my heart, because I walked in it for close to 45 years. From the day I got baptized in water, I went down sick and I came up well. And I walked that way until I injured myself until I was 70 years old. Now, I'm not trying to magnify, this thing is defeated, but I'm just telling you that I believe in divine health because it's scriptural. Some may not believe it. That's up to them, but I believe it. Because it happened to me. That's all I can tell you. Okay, so this is obviously a very important scripture. Okay. God bringing every thought into captivity. Say every thought. You cannot afford to live a careless thought life. You can't do it. The world is deeply established in influencing the mind. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest ways that they captivate people, you know, Satan was the music leader. Music. 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 Okay. That is one of the number one ways that captures people's mind, is they get entangled in the music of this world. I'm telling you the truth. It is probably one of the number one most influential things that, you know, and so, you know, it's taken over the world. So, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Who brings that thought into captivity? Who does that? You or God? You bring that thought into captivity. Okay, he's given you the mind of Christ. So you have a divine mind. You have a mind that is super spiritual. Think about it, that God has given you the mind of Christ. Forget about artificial intelligence. You have something far beyond artificial intelligence, and that's come in now to take over. It's going to control everything. Okay. But it can never, if it equals anything good, it can never equal the mind of Christ. Amen. It can never equal our relationship with God. And then it says, obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We need to learn to recognize disobedience and punish it. We need to resist it. We need to look at it for what it is. It's evil. Okay, you can't live a passive life. Okay, you can't do that. You can't just go with the world's flow, or you're going to end up definitely being deceived. You wonder how people, you know, would actually take the mark of the beast. I mean, that's incredible that you would do that. But they do it because they're just going with the flow. They're in that mode of passiveness that they'll do anything. See? Say an obedient thought life. Say it again, an obedient thought life. Learning to walk in obedience, and that's the faith. When we learn, when we're conscious and we learn to walk in obedience, that is the faith that pleases God. Obedience is not passive, it's active. Obedience is something that we do in diligence. Okay. You know, we're not just drifting through life. All right? And so successful spiritual warfare is learning to be obedient in your personal thought life. No one's going to do that for you. It's up to you. God has already given you the weapons. He's already given you the mind of Christ. He's already given you grace to fulfill the mind of Christ in your life. What more could he do? See what I'm saying here? And the battlefield is in the mind. You know, when you die and wake up in heaven, you're not going to have a battlefield. There's just going to be peace. There's nothing going to be attacking your mind. But right now, that's the reality that we live in. So, we're mighty in the Holy Spirit's power to pull down evil strongholds, to resist the temptation to give in to evil thoughts. Okay. And there's always the danger of you yielding to demonic thoughts to take control of your mind. Sometimes we're not aware that we are being influenced and that's trying to take control. The world system has you locked in, if you're going to be locked into it. And sometimes we're very careless to let down our guard and let a lying stronghold have control. We have to be careful that we're many times operating in the world and we are assuming things that we're being told is true and we are believing lies. And we're victims of the world system. We're being told, we're being guided, we're being influenced by the world and the way that they think. And yet the reality for the believer is that we're not supposed to be of this world. So we see that fear, worry, this is something we all deal with. Nobody's exempt from fear. Worry, doubt, confusion, depression, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, condemnation, giving in to temptations, not being diligent, being careless and passive. This is what we have to be aware of and we need to learn to overcome. That's why, you know, God just began to, one of the ways God began to really deal with me about these things is he said this to me. He said, just keep your mouth shut. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the easiest way you can sin is with a tongue joined to the wrong thoughts. Yeah, I've been guilty. See, and I'm not interested in giving my opinion about anything unless it's something that, you know, someone asked me about, or I'm not interested in going around giving my opinion to somebody. I'm not interested in commenting or saying anything that is, you know, not in God's will. See, yielding our mind to things that you should not see, hear, or say. Yielding our mind to thoughts that we see, hear, or say. You know, there is a safeguard where you immediately don't participate. You just say no, 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 cut it off. You have to do that. Because whatever thoughts you're entertaining, you're giving place to. And if they're not God's thoughts, then you're giving place to spirits that will eventually gain a stronghold in your mind. Okay. Learning to cast down careless thoughts, words. And, you know, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is our constant helper. Okay, he's giving us divine power. We need to walk in it. We are not victims. We're victors, right? All right. So we cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now you can have a bird flying over your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest in there like we've done so. Yeah. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This will take an enlightened and obedient commitment. Mind management. Okay, so we're going to close, but I didn't get to the rest of the points, which I never do. But I've got five of them here so I'll just go next week. I'll start on each one. Normally, sometimes I can take the whole message just on one point. Okay. Say divine obedience. Is up to me. All right. Hallelujah. Let's say it again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's say it again. Hallelujah.
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 Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'll be dealing with the rest of it next week, and that's okay. It you know, the Holy Spirit is really putting an emphasis on specific things that you'll remember. Okay, you remember your thought life, because nobody's going to think for you. But now, the Holy Spirit will help you sometimes think. He was helping me think the other morning, because I, probably for about an hour, I laid there and I made notes, and I'm going to have Carolyn type them out. So, hallelujah. We're going to close. Thank you for your undivided attention.
Let's stand up. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And she's glad he's given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. There it is. Are you ready? Power of God, I believe in the power of His Word, I believe in His everlasting love, I believe in the Lord.